Thank you. Greetings, friends. Exodus chapter 6 continues as a great revelation of God to Moses and now to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, in connection with who God is, some of his characteristics, his great power, his knowledge, and so on. In chapter 6 and of Exodus and verse 1, we get the introduction. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, for with a strong hand shall he let them, the children of Israel, them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them, the children of Israel, out of his land. Not only will they let them go, but they'll drive them out. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Another time when this expression is repeated, I am the Lord. But here is something different now. God says that in verse 2, God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared, verse 3, unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, the Almighty One. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. God, Jehovah, God Himself, God the Supreme. And the Jewish folk usually used this word, four-letter word, to represent the name of Jehovah rather than God, the Almighty God, the God who is supreme, one that's ineffable, can't be uttered. His name is so far beyond human language that it can't be uttered. So here we have them using Jehovah, one that they could understand somewhat whom they meant when they used this name, Jehovah, the one who is, he also is the eternal one. He's the ever-present one. Yes, it was just a term that they used instead of saying God. Their reverence and respect and their awe at the name God, in their opinion, it should not be used by them. It is an ineffable name, an unmentionable name, because there wasn't any word that could describe the person of God. My, if we had some of this awe at God today, and some of this reverence for God today, our country, our world, would be a different place in which to live. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. The Eternal One, yes, He is. The Ever-Great I Am, yes, He is. But the one who is now taking a dealing with the men and women of the world, one that's taken a dealing with the nation that has enslaved the children of Israel, and has held them bondmen. And apparently, during the days when Joseph was still alive, they were well treated. At least, they were not suffering as when a king arose who knew not Joseph, and Joseph has passed away, and now a king has arisen that knew not Joseph, and then began to be the hardships that the children of Israel as slaves were made to endure. The taskmaster's lash, when they took away the stubble for making bread, and they had to find their own stubble in which to make the same tale of bread. And when they didn't, then it was the taskmaster's lash. But here God, by his name Jehovah, He reveals what He's going to do in the soft and understandable language that follows in these marvelous verses in Exodus chapter 6. He says a number of things that I have, that God says I have done, I have prepared for. And in verse 4 we have the first one, I have also established my covenant with them. I have established my covenant that he would bring them back. He He told them, the forefathers, that he would, while they went down in Egypt, he would bring them back again, and he would bring them into the promised land that he had spoken of, and that he had promised Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God is the covenant-keeping God. God is the one who keeps his word. And your Bible and mine, friend, will every word and jot and tittle be fulfilled. It will not pass away. It cannot be destroyed. It's settled forever in heaven, the Psalm 119 tells us. For thy word is settled in heaven forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So God now shows that he's a covenant-keeping God. I have also established my covenant with them, and it can't be broken. And that land will still be theirs. Still be theirs as long as the earth stands. My covenant with them. And then he says down in verse 5, and I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel. I have heard their groanings. Now here is the God who is close to individuals. The God, the characteristics of God that brings them down close to man. He's not the God of a distant heaven, but he's a God who is ever present, and a God who enters into the circumstances and the vicissitudes of the life of individuals, who knows man and knows him intimately, knows him inside and out. I have established my covenant, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. He saw their punishment. He saw their suffering. And he heard their groanings, and that meant that he was going to do something about it. We often hear groanings, and we're helpless. We can't do anything to alleviate whatever the difficulty is that's causing the groaning. And oftentimes, too, friends, we wonder at souls, has there ever been a groaning in your heart? Has there ever been a lamenting in your heart because of your circumstances, because of your relationship to God? Has it ever caused you an anxious thought that you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? If such be, you have not done. Has it ever caused a groaning? When you feel that you're away from God, you're not in touch with God, that you don't know God as your Savior, the Lord Jesus, you don't know him as Savior, and if you died in that condition, you would not be with him. You'd be cast out forever. Has this ever caused a groaning to rise within you? God says, I also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have established my covenant, I have heard their groaning, I have remembered my covenant. Ah, yes, he remembered his word. God remembers every word, and he keeps every word. And the soul that will trust in Jesus, he'll never defeat, he'll never suffer them to have defeat, he'll never suffer them to be lost. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, he'll never, no, never desert to its foes. He'll not ever go back on his word. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No one will ever be cast out who really wants to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He keeps his word. He's a covenant-keeping God. I have remembered my covenant. Oh, yes. And he will keep his covenant. And to this, in this way, friends, he has made a covenant with you. If you will come, I will not cast out. Not only that, but he's going to deliver you, just as he promised to deliver the children of Israel. God is the God who can deliver us out of sin and Satan's thraldom. God is the only one who can liberate the soul from the claims of sin, from the tenacious grasp that sin has upon the human family, upon us as individuals. God can release that. God can forgive our sin, and in the person of the Lord Jesus, he can make us new creatures in Christ Jesus, and he's promised to do this if we'll only come as guilty sinners, come where we are, just as we are, and accept the Lord Jesus, that he died for us, for me, on the cross, paid my debt to God, put my sins away, and now if I receive him as my Savior, I pass from death to life. My sins are gone. I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus because he has saved my soul. And then to know it, your soul witnessing, your spirit witnessing with the Spirit of God, that you are a child of God now, brought into this relationship that was established by the Lord Jesus when he put sin away and answered to God for our sins so that we might have eternal life and have a home in heaven, in the glory, by and by. He's a covenant-keeping God. I have established my covenant. He's going to keep it. It'll never pass away. I have heard their groaning. The faintest, feeblest lay you raise, my friend, in connection with your condition without the Savior, he will hear. And every child of God, when they groan under burdens and cry to the Lord, he will hear. He will remember his come. I've heard their groaning, and then I have remembered my covenant, and he will keep it. He'll bring it to pass. Father, we thank thee for thy great word that assures us thou dost hear us and that thou wilt hear us and wilt save the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose. We pray then to bless our country, our president, and all who are in authority. Pray thee that many will hear the gospel, high and low, and receive the Christ of God. Be made new creatures in Christ Jesus.